On today's podcast, we have Sarah Lawrence. She's born and raised in Ottawa, a finance graduate from Carleton University, and JP's lovely girlfriend. She talks about her parents' influence on her financial habits, her ability to remain financially disciplined, the influence of her friends and the latest fashion trends, and how she needs more pairs of jeans. That and much more coming up on the Young Money Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Young Money Podcast. I'm Adrian.
And I'm JP. And today we've got a special guest, Sarah Lawrence.
Hi, everybody.
thanks for being on. We'll just dive right in. So as our listeners know, probably by now, this podcast is meant to, you know, talk about money in an honest way and hopefully get some lessons from it to kind of demystify money and learn about how other people manage their money. So Sarah, would you mind telling us a little bit about like how you grew up with money, how your parents were with money, and how your family perceived money in general?
Yeah, I would say overall, my family was fairly open about money. Like nothing was super secretive, but I knew we were pretty comfortable. My parents had pretty stable, good jobs, well-paying jobs. We didn't constantly openly talk about money, but it was never something that I was scared to ask about or kind of bring up with my family.
Yeah, and you grew up kind of in a rougher area, I would say. Like, not rough. I mean, it's rough by Canada standards. It's not rough by actual objectively rough standards, but did that at all, like, change the way that you viewed money? Like, were you surrounded with people that might not have been able to afford as many nice things as you had, or did you like not even really think about that when you were young?
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I definitely thought that me and my family were well off compared to those that were at the same school as me, for example. Other people at the school that I went to kind of came from a low income family, and I could tell that maybe money was a challenge for them, or they had money issues in the family. So I kind of felt fortunate from a really young age that my parents could, you know, put me in various sports and activities and not have to worry about money, or, you know, I could do like little vacations and trips with my family and not be too worried about it. So I think just based on where I grew up maybe and the school that I went to from a young age, I felt that maybe my family was more well off. But then as I got older and switched schools and went to high school and stuff, I realized, okay, actually my family is more like middle income average. But definitely when I was younger, I thought we were maybe more wealthy than the average family.
Right.
Yeah. When you're in high school, like, you know, I guess you intrinsically, you know, compare your financial situation to other people's. Did you notice like other people in high school, you know, start to work, get jobs? And like, when did you get your first like job? Did your parents kind of, did your parents encourage you to get a job kind of early, or?
Yeah, I would say, so I really liked money and the idea of money when I was younger. So I was really eager to get my own job. I didn't like going to my parents and asking for money, even though I knew we were comfortable. And I would say like my parents were pretty giving in terms of like giving us an allowance and things like that. But I was like, I got a job as soon as I could, basically. So I started babysitting. Like I did the babysitter's course when I was in grade 6. So what
is that
like? I didn't
know there was a babysitter's course.
Yeah, you have to do CPR and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that was like 11, I guess. Grade 6, 11. Yeah. So I started babysitting basically as early as I could. And then I started delivering the Penny Saver to people in my neighborhood. And
what's
it was
a Penny
like,
Saver?
It's like a little newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Where you can get like coupons and stuff, and there's like savings, Penny Saver.
What would you do with the money that you got from like babysitting and Penny Saver distribution?
That's a good question. I think I saved quite a bit of it. Like, I remember saving for Heelys, and that was I remember that was definitely before, like, when I was still babysitting and delivering the Penny Saver and those types of jobs, and I saved up all of my money to buy Heelys, and I basically just went back and forth on my parents' like front patio to teach myself how to use my Heelys so I could show up at school the next day.
Did you show up to school with them? Like, were you allowed?
Oh yeah. Because you know how you could switch out the heels for like normal shoes? They were like plugs that you could put in.
I never had that. I lived a deprived childhood.
Oh, I freaking loved my Heelys. But yeah, I think I tried to save up for special things like that that I knew my parents wouldn't necessarily want to pay for.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like you like very early realized the importance of money, and you had a kind of a jump start on the idea of it. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. Like,
go ahead.
One of my first memories of money. So basically, ever since I can remember, I have been obsessed with. Well, not so much anymore. But when I was younger, I was obsessed with calculators and just playing with money and calculating, like, or pretending to calculate how much money I had. Like, one of my first Christmas gifts ever was a calculator from my parents. Wow. So I feel like ever since I was really young, like, I really loved the idea of just having my own and being able to count my own. Like, I remember going to the bank and getting those little plastic cases for coins, and I would just put them all in my closet, like all the coins that I had saved up, and I had this bin full of like maybe $20 just in coins, and I loved going in and just counting them and adding up more and more coins. It sounds really sad, but yeah. That was fun.
Honestly, to me, that's pretty interesting and pretty crazy, because for those of you who don't know, Sarah studied finance in university. Is that correct, Sarah?
Yeah.
And, you know, you now hold a position like, you know, trying to help people like develop strategies for budgeting and all that. Do you think like your early interest in like calculators and like, you know, and money in general, like your little piggy bank it was kind of foreshadowing or kind of like instrumental in your like career choice and your development in academics, I guess, and professionally?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think a huge contributing factor to that is that my dad was an accountant and he worked at home a lot. Like, he had his little home office. And so I would see him you know, working on spreadsheets and taking out his calculators. And I knew that he made good money. And so I think maybe I was just trying to like be like my parents and,
yeah,
you know, because I thought they were cool when I was really young.
I definitely think that you must have seen your dad with a calculator at some point when you were young. And you're like, that's what I have to do. Like, that's what adults do. And I just have to push those buttons and figure out, you know, money.
But, yeah. And I mean, like, also throughout school, things like math and accounting came pretty easy to me. And I actually really liked it. Like, I would, oh my God, here's another thing that's going to make me sound really cool. I would do math problems for fun sometimes. And I actually enjoyed it. But I think you've made me think of a good question. Was I just doing it because I saw my parents doing it? Or was I doing it because I actually really thought that was something I wanted to do? Because now as I get older, in my life and career, I'm kind of moving away from finance and moving towards a different career path and not as interested in it anymore. So it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it was probably...
It really speaks to like the influence that your parents like may have on you as like as a young person in money and in like everything else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we're so prone to just imitation when we're young.
Yeah.
And I think that you probably saw your dad and you're like, okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Was there an important or was there a moment where you realized like the importance of money or learned like an important money lesson?
I think so. Kind of, as I mentioned, really like being interested in money at such a young age and thinking that it was one of the more important things in life. I kind of had a bit of a lesson in the sense of maybe money isn't the most important thing of life. So in life, I mean. So when I was in grade 7 or 8, my friends and I went on a little weekend trip to Wonderland in Toronto, and one of my friend's dads brought us. And before we went, I wasn't making much money at the time because I was just babysitting here and there. So before we went, my parents gave me like $200 or $300 for the weekend. And I remember kind of just putting it in my bag or whatever. And I was like, okay, I'll take it out when we get to Toronto. And halfway there, we stopped at like an en route and went to go get food. And I went to go grab my money and I couldn't find it anywhere. And I kind of started having a bit of a panic attack and I started crying. And my friend's dad like came over to me and he was like, honestly, Sarah, don't worry. The most important thing is that you're healthy and safe. And I know you think this might be the end of the world right now, but trust me, in the long run, your parents won't care that you lost $200. And so I think I kind of needed that because I was a bit maybe obsessed with money at a young age and it didn't really make sense. And I mean, obviously losing money is still really shitty and I wouldn't want to lose my parents' money, but I think it just made me realize...
Never give $200 to Sarah.
It just made me realize that there's way more important things in life than just focusing on money. And so maybe that's a bit of a different money lesson than what you were looking for, but that was kind of one that I think I needed.
Yeah, for sure.
At that age. Yeah.
I think there's a good balance there, right? Because obviously the point of this podcast is to talk about the importance of money, but at the same time, it's not everything. Like, you need to still put it in perspective.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. Money is still a huge part of my life. And I mean, I ended up studying finance and I'm pretty passionate about personal budgeting and making sure that everyone is kind of on the right track financially to support themselves. But I think it's just there's other things in life that might be more important in certain instances or certain situations. And mm-hmm. I think it's important to keep that in mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Would you say that, like, overall you're talking about, you know, personal budgeting and things like that, would you say that you're more on the splurgy or the stingy side?
I would say overall, I'm pretty stingy, but randomly splurgy. So when I say that, like, I kind of, you know, I'm aware of how much I spend on groceries and I try to buy meat that's on sale, for example. And, you know, I don't like spending a bunch of money on random apps on my phone that I don't use. Like, I'm pretty cautious about how I spend my money, but then randomly I'll be out shopping or, you know, scrolling through an online shop and spend $200 without really thinking about it. So I think overall in life, like, I don't really ever order out food or anything like that. I'm pretty stingy day to day. But yeah, then I have these random splurgy moments and I don't know why, but
Instagram targeted ads are made for Sarah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there something that you, either really, really regret buying, or something that you bought and you thought like, oh wow, this is actually a great purchase. I'm so glad, you know, this helps my life out so much. I'm so glad I purchased this.
I can't really think of one thing that I'm super happy that I bought necessarily. I think in terms of things that I regret buying, my mind goes to clothes quite often. I have quite a bit of clothing that I don't even end up wearing. So
she has more types of jeans than I have total pants.
Yeah.
Yes. All kinds.
So yeah. I've definitely bought a lot of random clothes that I didn't necessarily need, or I bought it for one trip that I was going on with some friends and then I just wore it on that trip and not again. So I would say I am not great with my spending when it comes to clothes. Another thing is that I get really into different activities and sports and stuff. Like last year, I got super into figure skating and I bought a brand new pair of figure skates. I bought all these new like clothing for figure skating and I don't figure skate anymore. You know, I did it for 4 months and now I'm done. And same thing with rock climbing. I got super into rock climbing, bought the shoes, the harness, the chalk, everything. I wore the harness once, you know, so I find like I'm really bad because I get into a lot of things and I get really into them, but then I also lose interest eventually. And I think that's where a lot of my money goes to waste. But I don't know if I would say waste because it's fun. It's still fun in that moment. I don't know.
Still in denial.
Yeah.
Why?
I think that is a lesson to be learned though. And maybe the money spent can kind of still be a positive thing because you kind of learn, oh, like, you know, if I want to get into a hobby or something, maybe I can find some more affordable routes or whatever. Like, I don't have to buy the best equipment right off the bat. Because I know a lot of people who start off a hobby or they start to get really passionate with a hobby, they'll go out and they'll buy, like, you know, the equipment, really expensive equipment that they need for that hobby. And I feel like sometimes you can, for me anyway, I just picked up playing a card game called Magic the Gathering. And you can buy like cards online and stuff for like hundreds of bucks and whatever. But I ended up finding a guy on Kijiji who was selling these cards, so I just bought them. And oh, they're expensive. I mean, I'm not sure. I think it's like a kind of a smaller hobby that people do, and obviously it's like a physical, you know, it's a physical thing, so they have to manufacture and all that. So
true.
It can get quite expensive, but yeah, anyway, I picked up a huge like package of these cards from this guy, and you know, just to learn the game and stuff, and it cost me like $25. So I think that is a lesson for people to kind of, you know, if you're going to get into a hobby, go ahead, just, you know, make sure that you're, you know, a little bit cautious and make sure you know what you're spending it on and know that you're going to follow through with it, I guess.
Yeah. Start off cheap.
Yeah. Or you. Yeah.
Why do you buy 1 million pairs of jeans? Like, why do you buy so many like different of the same thing? Or like just in general, like, oh, like what is it that's so attractive about clothes?
I think, you know, it's an intervention. It's the same thing with the hobbies. Like I get super into trends. I'm very much influenced by what I see is the new thing in style. And it's honestly a curse because that style only lasts for a few months and then I need the new thing and the new thing. And you know what? I end up wearing majority of the time the same pair of comfy jeans that I just like to wear. You know, and it's the same thing with the activities that I was talking about, like rock climbing and figure skating and other sports that I do. I just get so into these trends and hobbies very intensely in a very short period of time. And similar thing with fashion and clothing. Yeah. And then I get over it. So I want the next thing. I don't know what that says about me just as a person, but that's why I think I'm like that.
No, I think you're easily, sometimes you're like just easily swept up with like a trend or whatever, or, you know, you see something and you just get swept up in it.
And oftentimes, like what I was saying before about buying specific clothes for trips that I'm going on, that's definitely an issue because, you know, you go on a trip for 4 days and you see this perfect outfit that you want to be seen in New York City wearing.
Oh my God. Let's tell the listeners, Sarah went to New York City before the worldwide pandemic and she went on a really cheap, like she got a really cheap flight, a really cheap Airbnb. But you spent so much money on clothes for this trip.
Yeah. I ended up spending more money on my clothing than the actual trip itself.
Isn't that crazy?
Whoa.
And I would not recommend doing that ever again for anybody out there. It's not worth it unless you know you'll be wearing the clothes afterwards.
But this is a really important point that I want to stress that, like, maybe we can extrapolate a lesson out of this. I think that you wouldn't have done that if you hadn't like been part of a group that also did that. Like you were super excited. All the girls were like, it was like almost like, you know, a peer pressure, or what I imagine like a hockey team being like the peer pressure of just like everybody mm-hmm. bouncing off of each other makes the whole group like behave a completely different way.
Yeah.
Like the group of girls that you went with were just like, oh, I'll buy this. And then the other girl was like, oh, I'll buy that too. And then it just became like this huge thing where everybody was buying so many
totally,
clothes.
Totally. And this goes back to, you know, me being easily influenced by what I see and what's going on. I mean, I was going to New York City for one of my best friend's birthdays, and it was 8 girls going on this trip during New York Fashion Week. And so I was just, you know, consumed by the moment. And I couldn't step away from that and realize, okay, you know, spending $400 on clothing for 4 days is not.
Yeah.
I hope you still wear some of that clothing now.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I do, for sure. Okay. For sure.
Speaking of being swept up, what's an example of when you've gotten scammed or almost scammed?
So for those of you who don't know us, I don't know if we've mentioned this yet, but JP and I are partners. And...
Oh, whoa, I thought we were just friends.
We've been together for 3.5 years. Okay, anyways, so about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now, we went on a trip to Europe. And we started off the trip by visiting his family in England, and we were staying outside of London, but one day we went into the city just to explore and look around and stuff. And while we were, I think we were next to Big Ben maybe, or one of the big sites. We were walking in basically a super touristy area, and there were these men that had 3 cups laid out in front of them on the ground, and they had put a ball in one of them and they were mixing them around. I feel like everybody kind of knows the game that I'm talking about. And then they were saying, okay, if you can guess which cup it's in, we'll double your money. And so I'm watching them and I'm like, this is the easiest freaking thing. Like, I can see exactly where the ball is. And I'm like, I have 20 pounds. If I double that to 40 pounds, that's like 80 Canadian dollars. So I was willing. And basically these other people that were standing around were kind of pressuring me into doing it. But I thought they were also just part of the game. And so I was kind of like, okay. And so I slowly started taking out my wallet. And now everything just happened so quickly. And now I'm holding 40 pounds in my hand.
Keep in mind, it's like super crowded. People are kind of yelling at her. We're like in a tight, tight circle. And Sarah's like feeling herself. Like you're like, I've got this. Like, yeah, this is easy. Like, these folks don't know where the fur ball is. And I know where it is every time.
And I'm seeing people go in and lose their money. And I'm like, what? Why would you guess that the ball was there? We clearly saw that the ball was under the 3rd cup. Like, what are you doing? And so I was holding out my money, and then a woman walked by me and she was like, put your money away. These people have been standing here for 3 hours. They're all part of the scam. Like, they're all just helping out this one guy. They're not other random tourists that are getting their money. And I was like, oh my God. And so I started kind of freaking out, and I was like, did they steal my money? Like, is all my money here? I don't know. Cause I had already taken out my cash, and I was kind of freaking out. And JP the whole time was trying to tell me not to do it, but I was like, JP, it's so easy. Come on. and anyways, so I ended up not being scammed, but very, very close to being scammed. And I'm also quite gullible, so that doesn't help. That's not the first time that something like that has happened to me.
The plus side of the gullible, you know, is also that you see the best in people. Like, you just, your default is that you think that this person genuinely is just putting on a game and genuinely just like losing money.
I thought he was just trying to make an honest living for himself. And I was like, oh, I mean, I could help out if it means I'm going to be making money.
Yeah. So moral of the story is, if you're about to play a game and it looks too easy, it probably is a scam.
Yeah, just don't play any of those tourist trap games. They're all the same.
Yeah,
that was bad.
Yeah. Was there anything, sort of switching gears here, was there anything that, like money related, that you thought was normal for the longest time but didn't realize was kind of weird?
I would say for the longest time. So when I started making a bit more money, so my first, I guess, official job was at Metro as a cashier. And I got that basically the day I turned 16, I went in and got a job. And when I started making money, a bit more money, I just kind of put it all in my checking account. I just had one bank account. And I had that bank account for years. And I just kind of put everything into my checking account. And I didn't even have like an everyday savings or anything or long-term savings. I mean, at that age, it's kind of difficult. But for quite a while, I just thought it was normal to put everything into your checking account. And that's how you paid for things, just using your debit card. And as I got older and once I got into finance and started talking to my friends about it a bit more, I realized, okay, actually, it might be a bit more smart to diversify my portfolio and put a bit more and put a bit more into savings and other things, and maybe get a credit card as opposed to just always keeping it in the one checking account. I would say that was kind of the biggest thing that I thought it was normal. I thought that's kind of what everybody did.
Yeah, you're never really taught that it's like not the best thing to just keep money in a bank account. Like, you're expected to get some sort of interest on it. It's not good enough to just have it in an account, because inevitably over time your cash will depreciate.
Yeah, I mean, I think also at that age you're not saving much money because you're not really making enough to be saving, and also at the
too busy buying Heelys, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and at the age of 16, like, I was preoccupied more with spending my money on traveling and saving up for university so I could move out and stuff like that. So it's not like I could save that much anyways. But then as I got older, I started making a bit more money. And when I started working full time and stuff during the summers, I still just kept that one checking account. It took me a while to change.
Mm-hmm. Playing into that point, do you think that like your financial situation now has been attributed to you know, what you've learned from your parents, or do you think there are things that, you know, you've had to actually learn like hard lessons from, you know, vis-a-vis getting trying to pick out the fuzzy ball underneath the cups? Basically, you know, what I'm trying to get at is like, you know, how much of your financial situation now can you attribute to, you know, being the daughter of an accountant versus, you know, actually being in the real world, figuring it out for yourself?
Yeah. To be honest, I would say I didn't learn much in my whole finance degree. I think a lot of it I would attribute it to just my real life experience. I think I learned a lot from my parents just because they were pretty open and willing to talk about money. So I was fortunate to kind of have them to go to and not feel awkward or uncomfortable asking them for advice in certain areas. But I think I definitely learned a lot through university and paying my – well, I was fortunate enough that my parents paid for my actual schooling, but having to save up and pay for my exchange that I went on, and having to work 7 days a week in the summers to be able to afford my living costs during the school year, and also working while in school, I think that I would attribute a lot of my lessons learned about money and my financials towards my own life experience. But it started off with my parents, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of like led the path for me to figure out the rest.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's really important, you know. You know, just to have someone who you kind of started off life with to kind of teach you the basics and stuff. Obviously, money is a super important part of like society and stuff, to survive and get through life, you need money. And you know, it sounds like your parents were kind of instrumental in that, so that's really great to have. Do you have any advice for people who maybe the younger listeners in, I don't know, Mexico or Brazil or Puerto Rico? Thanks everyone for listening. For those younger listeners, do you have any advice for someone who might, you know, not have the most money savvy parents or be in the most money savvy environment in terms of their friends or family?
Like, obviously the general theme I feel like has been so far that you've been good with money, but like what do you do exactly that makes you good with money, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to just give one piece of advice that would work for everyone, because I am the way I am with money because of the certain privileges that I've had, I guess, growing up in a family that could support me and put me through university and things like that in order to get a really well-paying job in the future. But I don't know, I would say
tell people how you saved. So just a little insight from obviously knowing Sarah is she went on exchange in third year, which is a pretty costly thing to do, but she actually paid for it pretty much all herself. So tell people like how you actually saved for that and how your parents sort of created a system that incentivized you to save for that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, so basically what had happened was I knew I wanted to go on exchange in my third year in university. I only went for half a year, so I think I was there for about 6 or 7 months. I went to Scotland, and I had known this since before I went to university that I wanted to go on exchange. I had originally planned on going into international business so that I could go on exchange.
Just a funny side note, Sarah went to Scotland on exchange to learn French.
I didn't go to learn French. I just took French while I was
Scotland,
there.
Scotland, the French capital of the world.
Yeah. It was just an easy class. And basically when you go on exchange, it's just a pass fail and you just need over 40% to be considered a pass. So like it just comes back as a pass on your transcript back here in Canada.
Yeah.
And then your GPA just stays the same as long as you pass all your courses there.
Which is hilarious. I'd never understood why that was, but
because it's because the grading system is so different all around the world. It's really unfair to say, okay, well, if you get 70% in Scotland, does that mean that is actually equivalent to 80% in Canada? You know, like how do you calculate that? Because their grading system is a bit different.
Just another university is a scam.
I totally just ended up paying my way through those grades because
anyways. back to how you actually like saved to do this trip.
So before I went on this trip, I started working for the government because I was a co-op student. And so I worked for the government the whole summer before full time and then during the school year part time. But basically before I had registered to go on exchange, my parents said, if you save 10 grand to go on this trip, so basically pay for your living costs, all of your traveling while you're there, any food costs you have, basically anything that I would need to pay for while I was gone, then they would pay for my trip to and from Scotland, which I literally needed to get to exchange. So that was about an $800 cost. I think my flight's round trip, maybe a bit more. So I had this idea in my head that I really, really needed to save this 10 grand to go on exchange. It wasn't even really an option not to.
Mm-hmm. Would you stop yourself from going out, or would you like stop the jean purchases? Like,
Yeah. Because I had this idea that, you know, if I stopped spending money here right now, then I would get to spend it all traveling I was away.
You get Scottish jeans.
Exactly. So I was also super lucky because my parents live in the same city where I went to school. So I was able to live at home, during the summer and the first semester before I went on exchange. So I basically didn't spend any money at all because I didn't have to pay for rent. My parents, were covering the cost of my tuition, which was awesome. And then, all of my groceries and stuff were paid for because I was living at home. And then I basically stopped going out because I really wanted to do well in school for a semester because I knew that my GPA would be the same if I passed all my courses when I came back. So I knew I needed to kind of get pretty good grades in my first semester, which was a motivation to not want to go out and drink as much and party as much because I knew I wanted those grades. So I would just stay home and study instead, which I guess made it easier for not spending money. And then when I got to Scotland, I spent it all basically. Like
did
I
a went, lot of partying.
Yeah. Like I basically made up for what I missed first semester.
I mean, all you have to do is pass with the 40%. So
exactly. Exactly.
You just go there and see the sights and play the game theory optimal play of just enjoying yourself as to the maximum, right?
Yeah. And once you're there in Europe, it's really, really cheap to fly around and travel. Like I basically ended up going to 15, I think I went to 15 different countries during my 7 months there. And I would basically go to random places. Like I would check on Ryanair's website on a Tuesday. Okay, what's on sale this weekend? Oh, there's a 10 euro round trip flight to Barcelona. Okay, let's go. And I would just go that way, that kind of thing. Like it was very last minute, but I had the flexibility to do that. And I knew I had saved up and kind of put in all this effort for doing things like this and traveling around and exploring. And I had a feeling at the time that I would never have that opportunity again in my life to just travel for 7 months.
Now that we live in pandemic days, it'll just never happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And also, like that was in my third year. And then I was already working in a government job and I kind of figured after I graduated, I would, you know, just start working full time for the government. So I knew that like it was going to be really unrealistic to have half a year off ever again to just travel and do my own thing.
Do you have any general money saving tips for just like going on exchange?
I kept a piggy bank, which
was the same piggy bank from
when. Bam.
Oh, actually, actually.
Oh my god.
I still had all of that money.
From when you were like a
like
a
not
child?
The same literal money, but I had kept that same bin of coins.
Hilarious.
I don't have it anymore because I cashed it all in before I went on exchange. But I did keep those coins because I knew one day I would need them for something. Mm.
So this had been like the thing that you're going to like splurge all your money on from a young, like not that you knew that you're going to go on exchange, but like this was when you knew that you were going, this was the thing that you were like saving every penny for.
I actually had something similar to this thing a few years before. So in between grade 11 and 12, I went to Costa Rica for a month and did grade 12 biology there. And it's run through this private school in Toronto. And my parents had done a similar plan with me at that point. So the whole trip for the summer, like living, flights, food, everything, cost $4,000. And my parents said, okay, Sarah, if you save up $2,000 to pay for this trip, we'll pay the other $2,000. Mm. And so I think that also set me up for my saving later on exchange. Yeah. I was like, oh, like if I do this, then my parents will help me out. They did the exact same thing for university with my tuition. So if I maintained my scholarship, they would continue to pay my tuition. If not, I would have had to pay.
Yeah, I think your parents did a really good job at incentivizing good financial habits. Like I don't know their finances thoroughly, but I feel like they probably could have just paid for the whole thing, but the fact that they basically said, you know, you got to work for it, it really, really helped.
Yeah
I agree. Like that sounds like an amazing piece of positive enforcement. Is that the term? That sounds like, you know, everybody could use a little bit of that unfortunately, you know, not all parents can afford to do that for their kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, one lesson your parents like directly taught you is, you know, the ability to manage your finances. But also, you know, a lesson you could get out of this is like, you know, how, you know, lucky you and I are and all of us are to be able to, you know, live in a country where most of us can, most of our parents can afford at some level to help us out.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. I think that definitely taught me at a pretty young age that if you do save, it can result in a positive outcome for you. So like I was saying, if I didn't maintain my scholarship throughout university, I knew that my parents weren't going to be helping me out with my university costs. And that was pretty scary to me. So I was like, okay, I better do well in university because this means that I could also end up having to work a whole bunch more and have to basically use all that money for my tuition as opposed to moving out and having fun and living with my friends and doing all these other experiences that I also wanted to do. So I think it definitely taught me the benefits of saving really young without having to go through a bank to do so, or having to do it like in a behind the scenes type way, like my parents
behind
were.
The scenes of,
but yeah, I would say that that's a good lesson. Like if you're trying to teach someone else about money, like just try and show them the positives of saving.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. yeah, that's incredible. So, you know, the final question I want to ask and kind of our $1 million question, if you will, actually it's very literally our $1 million question. What, Sarah Lawrence, would you do if you had $1 million to spend today?
So I'm not going to lie. I've definitely thought about this before. not that
she's counting those pennies. But yeah. One day it'll be a million.
Not that I think I'm going to win $1 million anytime soon or have that much money, but it's definitely something I'm kind of like, oh, well, if I had this money, I would do this with it. I think right away I would put probably half of it into savings, and kind of money that I don't touch. And I think included in that would be some money that I also give to charity, like on an annual basis. Maybe choose some different charities that I find are really important to me and my family and friends, and contribute about half of it to that. So kind of like money that I don't necessarily touch right away. With the other half, considering where I am right now in life, I would probably put down a down payment on a home. Yeah, probably a home, not a condo, because I would want to have like maybe a nicer home that I could keep for when I have a family and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I would also buy a Porsche. Maybe a little convertible. I think that would just be something fun to treat myself. I think also right now, considering this whole pandemic situation, it's making me really just want to invite all of my friends and family over and do something fun. So I think maybe one thing that could be fun that I would do would be to rent out like a huge cottage for the whole summer, and maybe just take the summer off work and invite everyone over and kind of just come when you can and leave when you want and just celebrate and have a really fun time with my friends and family and those that I love. Because I miss everyone. But yeah, it would kind of be a nice way of just like reuniting everyone and also maybe giving some money back to my parents for everything that they've done for me. Yeah,
that's wow. Kind of it. Well, that's an amazing answer. thank you so much, Sarah.
Like I said, yeah, I've thought about it.
You better invite me to that cottage party. That sounds
great. You're number one on the list.
Awesome. Even in front of JP.
I'm just the bellman. I'll be carrying all everybody's suitcases.
Oh, man. All right, Sarah. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. This is awesome.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that was super fun. Thanks for having me.
Cool.
Great chat. Thanks so much.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. Until then, we'll see you then, or we'll see you on another time.